Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to see you this morning. The brethren in New England send their greetings to you, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. Anyways, the message I want to bring you today deals with a parable that Jesus Christ gave to the disciples, dealing with personal responsibility of stewardship. Stewardship is a principle or a concept that we understand in terms of serving a master and providing for the needs of the master and taking care of the resources that the master has given to the servant in trust that that person will be loyal and faithful in carrying out responsibilities. Well, brethren, we have also a stewardship responsibility to what God gives to us. Because God gives to us His Spirit, He gives us His understanding of His Word, He gives us many gifts and opportunities, but God is investing in us. God gives to us so that we in turn can what? Increase upon what God gives us, so that we can turn back to Him and increase of the Holy power of the Holy Spirit, increase in knowledge and understanding, but also to return back to Him a more capable, educated, if you will, prepared individual, one who is going to serve in the kingdom of God. So let's turn over to Luke 19, if we will. Let's read the parable, and then we will look at the many lessons that are in this parable. It's quite profound and very beneficial for us to understand what Christ is teaching us in this parable of the pound. And so let's begin in Luke 19, and let's start in verse 12. Luke 19, and starting in verse 12. Therefore he said, that is Christ, a certain nobleman set out to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. And after calling 10 servants to himself, he gave to them 10 pounds, that is 1 pound to each of the 10 servants. And he said to them, trade until I come back. Fred used the word trade in this particular verse. The King James uses the word occupy. And the word occupy is from derived from the Greek word pragma, from which we derive the English word pragmatic. And so you get to understand what this concept of trading and being one who is busy in business, investing, if you will, buying and selling, to make an increase. So we see the story here that the nobleman representing Christ gave to his disciples, if you will, the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth and to produce an increase. So let's read on and understand that. Let's pick it up in verse 15. And it came to pass that when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he directed that those servants to whom he had given the money be called to him, in order that he might know what each one had gained by trading. In other words, he was expecting the servants to produce an increase upon what he had given them. And the first one came up saying, Lord, your pound has produced 10 pounds. And then he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second one came saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. Then he said also to this one, and you be over 5 cities. So you can see the fact that there is a situation where there is a challenge, but also there is judgment, and there's also a reward. So think of these terms. We'll be covering this as we go along within the context of this parable. Let's read on. But another one came saying, Lord, behold your pound. I'm giving it back to you just as you gave it to me. I'm giving it back to you, which I laid up in a handkerchief and buried it in the ground. For I was afraid of you because you are a harsh man. You take up what you did not lay down and you reap what you did not sow. So this individual we see here did not produce an increase. Zero. Zilch. And you know, it's not a matter of aptitude here. It's a matter of attitude and action. This particular servant had a really bad attitude toward his master in terms that he did not understand that the master was there to help him with the increase. He made no effort. He buried it in the ground because he was afraid. He said, but then the master said, but why didn't you deposit my money in the bank so that at my coming, that I might have received a little bit of increase, at least the interest? But you buried it in the ground in the nobleman. And of course, Christ was not pleased, would not be pleased. And he said to the one and those standing there, take the pound from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, but Lord, he has 10 pounds. Notice what he says, for I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. And so the parable here is quite clear. There's a lot in here. So we're going to basically study the aspect of stewardship. God gives to us so that we can gain and grow and produce growth in our spiritual lives, in our character, in the mind of Christ, being prepared for rulership in the kingdom of God. That's what God expects from us, brethren. And this parable clearly points that out. And we need to understand that that's what we need to be working for. So the same way, God expects us to increase upon what he's given to us. And we're doing that. We do that by prayer and study, growing in knowledge, grace and knowledge, putting first the kingdom of God in our pursuit in this world. But yet, let's understand that stewardship involves working with the resources that God gives to us so that we are pleasing in doing the will of our Master, Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Luke 12, back a few pages. Luke 12, where Christ in a situation kind of gave the picture of what stewardship is about. Luke 12 and verse 42. Luke 12 and verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is a wise and faithful steward? And this is what God is looking for, what Christ is looking in us, that are we going to be a faithful steward of what God gives to us? And here he says, whom the Lord has shall put in charge of his household to give to each one the portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. So in other words, there's blessings to a wise and faithful steward who is doing the will of the master. But if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservants and the maidservants, and to be gluttonous, and to become drunk, that Lord of that servant will come in a day when he shall not expect, and in an hour when he does not know, he will cut him asunder and will appoint him portions with the unbelievers. Brethren, there's consequences if we do not grow and gain increase for God. He expects it. So many have gone back into the world after receiving the pound, the Holy Spirit in analogy, and have not grown up any fruit or any increase for God. God is not well pleased with those individuals, as we're going to see in the parable. But dropping down to verse 48, but the one who did not know and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few, for to whomever much has been given, and this is the point that we need to understand here, to whom much has been given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, from him they will demand the more. So brethren, this shows personal responsibility we have before God with our calling. And we know we know that we have to be working and accomplishing God's will. But this is the key. We've got to be ready to prepare a increase for God when he returns. I'd like to give you four key principles about stewardship before we go back and look at the parable, because this will help us to understand the context and a more broader aspect of what stewardship is about. The first thing is that a good steward produces the maximum, not the minimum, of growth and increase. In other words, that servant who is a good steward will apply maximum effort, will be a hard worker, will be diligent, and will be growing and increasing the very fruit in his life as we look at the analogy with us in the kingdom of, as we serve our master. And one of the situations where it says, where indeed, if we are doing the minimum, that is, we're just doing the minimum in terms of doing God's will. What does Christ say in another, I think it's in Luke 14. He said, You are an unprofitable steward or servant if you're doing the minimum. So principle number one, a good steward is doing the maximum of service to his master. Number two, stewards are given specific work to do. Stewards are given specific instructions or work to do for their master. And let's turn to Ephesians 2, if you will. And important principle regarding works. We know in the modern vernacular that many in the world believe that salvation is only by faith only and not by works. And this is not true. The Bible does not teach that. But in Ephesians, Ephesians 2 and verse 8, let's read. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is especially is not of your own selves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, so that no one may boast. And brethren, we understand the gift of salvation is not by works, it is the gift of God, it is the free gift of God. But however, let's read verse 10. For we are his workmanship. So God is creating in us his mind and his nature in us. That's the workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. So God, these are God's works. These are not our works. These are the works that God gives us to do. Prayer and study, keep the commandments, keep the Sabbath, the holy days, walk in the way of God so that we can develop character, so that we can develop the mind of Christ, so that we then will be a profitable servant of God in the kingdom. Let's realize that is so important for us to know. Point number three, faithful servants work to produce a profit or an increase for their Lord and Master. That is, on the holdings and the resources that God gives. In other words, we are to produce an increase upon what God gives to us. And I mentioned that several times already. Let's turn to Matthew 13, just one verse regarding in the sower of the seed. But it's a key one, showing that we need to produce an increase. Matthew 13, and let's read verses 23. Background of this parable, the sower of the seed is the word of God, or what can be looked upon as the Holy Spirit, enters into good ground. The good ground is a heart that's been prepared through repentance and through service to God. In other words, the soil is at the heart in which fruit can be produced. So let's read verse 23, showing the fact that we need to be actively producing an increase. But the one who has sown on good ground, this is the one who hears the word and understands, who indeed brings forth fruit and produces one a hundredfold, another 60-fold, and another 30-fold. Let's turn over to John 15. John 15, where Christ said, if we are connected to the vine, if we're connected to Jesus Christ, God expects us to produce fruit. John 15, and let's start in verse 5. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who is dwelling in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not dwell in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So the consequences of producing no fruit is a dire penalty. And we're going to see that this is the case if we must be producing fruit. Reading verse 7. If you dwell in me and my words dwell in you, you shall ask whatever you desire, and it shall come to pass for you. In this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So this is a cooperative effort, brethren. The only way that fruit can be produced in us is that we're doing our part, working with the very help that God gives us to produce that fruit. As any fruit or any crop that's being produced, it needs care. It needs watering. It needs to take care of the weeds. And so the analogy here is obvious for us to understand. We have our part to play. Point number four, faithful servants or stewards are rewarded for their good service. Faithful servants or stewards are rewarded for their good service. God also will grant us rewards for our good service. And rewards are separate from the gift of salvation, as we're going to see. But God is prepared to give rewards to those who excel in producing an increase for him. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Christ tells us specifically that he's coming, he's returning, but he's also bringing rewards with him. And one verse, let me read Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to each one, notice, according to his work shall be. So, brethren, we will be rewarded by Christ at his return according to the works that we're producing in our Christian lives today. Put down 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 14. I won't take time to go there, but here we see different levels of growth that Paul spoke about, that Christ being the foundation. And he says, for those who build on the foundation of Christ, be aware of what you're building. Are you building gold and silver and precious stones? Or are you building wood and hay or chaff? These are works that we build upon the foundation of Christ. And we have to be aware of that. And what does Paul say there? If you read there, he said, Paul says, and those works will be tested in fire. And the works that if they prevail through trial and testing, you shall receive a reward. So again, the idea is that, and what we're seeing here is that different people will produce different works, which will lead to different rewards being given. So this is something we need to appreciate. Well, let's just go back to Luke 19, and then we can take a closer look at and apply these principles to this particular parable. Again, we know that Christ is the nobleman who went away at the end of his 40 days. He went and he told the disciples, "I shall return." And again, we understand that he gave to either disciples the responsibility to what? To preach the gospel and to raise up disciples for him to do the work. And that's what the disciples did through the power of this Holy Spirit that God gave. So in other words, we see this particular parable is speaking about. We also see the fact that the rewards are here. In other words, Christ rewarded according to the works. The one who increased it 10 pounds received authority over 10 cities. The one who increased 5 pounds received authority over 5 cities. So what is the reward? And we're going to see the reward is greater responsibility of service in the kingdom of God to be under Jesus Christ to bring the God's government into this world. And you know, this is perfect to understand, because a person who's grown more, a person who has greater conversion, has greater mind of Christ, is not that person better qualified to have greater responsibility in the kingdom of God? Yes. And so this is the principle that's being taught here. So not all of us are going to receive the same reward, but I'm going to say something about that later on. Don't let that dismay you. We're not competing among ourselves for positions in the kingdom. I'm not bringing you this message to bring this point out. We all shall receive a full reward if we apply ourselves. The person who did not apply himself did what? He buried the talent in the ground. And what happened to this individual? This individual had the pound taken away. And if that pound represents the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit was taken from this individual and given to another. And what was the consequences of that individual at the time of judgment? That person is not going to qualify or make it into the kingdom of God. Zero growth, zero entrance into the kingdom of God. That's what this parable teaches us. This is profound, I think, in terms of somehow we think the world thinks that just accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and that's all you have to do. The big lie, brethren. We know we have work to do. And we need to be diligent, we need to be faithful, and we need to be going forward. So Christ gives each and one of us a challenge to use whatever he gives to us, the blessings, the Holy Spirit, knowledge of his word, to grow up the crop, to grow up the fruits of the Holy Spirit, so that in turn we can use that fruit to help other people, to serve God in this age, but also in the next. Because that's the one thing that will carry over in the resurrection. The character we develop in this life, the mind of Christ, the qualities and the characteristics of God the Father will carry over in the resurrection. I truly believe that this is what this is telling us. And so, brethren, the judgment, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10, because, brethren, we all are going to come under judgment before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And we need to realize that we don't need to be fearful and afraid, anxious as the one who buried his talent in the ground, if we are applying the fruit, that is the Holy Spirit, if we're applying the way of God in our lives, we shall be producing fruit. We are producing fruit. But the key thing is that it is a necessary part of receiving eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, "Because of this, we are also laboring so that whether present or absent, we may be well-pleasing to him." And as we produce fruit for God, fruit for Jesus Christ, and we produce an increase, it's pleasing to God. As we are sacrifices, that is, we are living sacrifices, serving God. But notice verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive according to the things done in his body, what he has practiced, whether for good or for evil." So, brethren, we have responsibility to grow up the crop, to keep fertilizing it through Bible study and prayer, to be able to apply in our lives the very things we're learning with one another, serving and loving one another, and growing in the very love of God. The man who buried this talent did not know his Lord and Master. He was fearful. He was fearful. And what does fear represent? A lack of love. He lacked love for his Master. In our case, we do not want to lack love for our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. And that's what this one did. So therefore, understand, it is as a faithful steward, we need to be producing and working for God in all aspects that we can. The rewards that God gives to those at his return are going to be based upon the works that we do. We just read that. God is going to record, Christ will reward us according to our works. Revelation 5:10, we don't need to turn there, but there it says that we shall be ruling with Christ as kings and priests. And we will be given positions of authority under Jesus Christ to administer the kingdom of God. But not all positions will be the same level. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, others, the disciples, have all already been basically given assignments in the kingdom of God. And they're going to must have a much higher level of responsibility and authority. But for us, we do not know what we're going to be doing. But brethren, we need to be preparing. We need to be doing our part. Revelation 2:26 says that in dealing with the churches, saying that God will give us authority over the nations. But it says, according, again, to the works that you have done. So if you understand this, it's kind of eye-opening here to think that, well, there's going to be different rewards based upon how much we produce for God. And again, this verse sounds, well, yeah. It's trying to say, well, are we competing among ourselves? Are we basically kind of working toward higher positions in the kingdom of God? Well, God forbid. We don't want to put this element of competition. That's why not what I'm bringing you. Because I'm going to say something now to ending up this message today is, who gets the credit for the fruit that we're producing? Let's understand. In the first message, we heard about humility and meekness. Who gets the credit for the increase that we produce? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. And we'll see that, you know, we're doing the work, but God gets the credit. God gets the credit, not us. 1 Corinthians 3, and let's start in verse 6. I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Therefore, neither is he who plants anything nor he who waters, for it is God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Again, focusing on this element of being a good steward, doing the works that God has given to us. And if we do that, we shall receive a full reward. And so finally, what should be our motivation, brethren, in serving God, in doing the works that God gives us to excel in spiritual growth? Are we all competing for better positions in the kingdom of God? Are we basically wanting one-upmanship to try to get a bigger, more cities, more authority in the kingdom of God? I hope that you don't get that part that I'm going to bring you, because the motivation that we have to produce an increase for God is not getting a position, but is based upon our love for God. Based upon love. It's not based upon competition. If we love God, that's our motivation, to give back to Him just a small portion of what He's giving back to us. So our motivation here, brethren, is to love God, to serve God with a pure heart, and to be able to do those things that He wants us to do, because we love Him, we love Jesus Christ. Not a matter of just trying to get a better, bigger piece of authority in the kingdom of God. God forbid that we would think that that's what we should be working at. A competitive spirit is something that we've seen in this world. That's part of Satan's way. We're not competing. We want to work together. And it doesn't matter whether we have one village, two cities, three people, whatever God gives us to manage and to handle in the kingdom of God, it's going to be fit for you. It's going to be perfect for what you've done and what you're capable of doing. And there's going to be unity. There's going to be harmony in the kingdom of God. And we can be thankful for that. No competition. It's going to be truly serving the people. So in conclusion here, the key thing is do your best for God. That's all. And do your best with love in your heart for Him and for one another. Because that's what it's about. If you love God, you're going to be doing your best. You're going to be striving against this world. You're going to be growing. You're going to be overcoming. You're going to be doing those things that are pleasing to God. That is pleasing to God. So brethren, let's understand that we can be good stewards for God, for what He gives us. And God will be well pleased with that. Final scripture, Matthew 25, verse 21. Matthew 25 and verse 21. Brethren, there's one thing that we want to hear when Christ returns, and that's what this verse truly says. When Christ returns, brethren, we want to be good servants for Jesus Christ, good stewards, so that we will hear when He returns, "Well done, good and faithful servant, because you are faithful over a few things, I will set you over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord."